What is up, everybody? Welcome back to a championship week edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend and intrepid co-host, Tyler O. And today, we are discussing all things from the 2025 Week 16 NFL slate. All sorts of action went down in the fantasy semifinals that we have to discuss. And of course, we are going to get into some waiver wire names for people who may need some help for their fantasy championship. And actually, tell you what, we'll just jump into that one right now. Here are three quarterbacks that you can go after if you need somebody at that position. I think you could first look at Sam Darnold of the Seattle Seahawks. After that, Tyler Shuck, the New Orleans Saints. He's actually doing a pretty good job running the ball sometimes. And if you are truly in a desperate situation, you have made your finals in a super flex league, I think Malik Willis filling in for Jordan Love, who is currently in concussion protocol, could be kind of interesting. Malik Willis always been somebody that you can rely on for decent rushing production, if nothing else. And then, very quickly, I only have two players that I think really need people's attention off of the waiver wire that don't play quarterback. And their names are Blake Corum of the Los Angeles Rams and Taysom Hill of the New Orleans Saints. Because what would a fantasy season be if we don't have gadget Taysom Hill finding relevance? Somehow he's like the leader of the Saints backfield with all of their injuries. And I think that that could be fun. I have now spoken for about 2 minutes straight. Tyler O, hello. How are you doing? And also, do you agree with any of these names and this analysis? Is there anybody else you would like to pitch?
Not too much. Loved the quarterback options there. I mean, Shuck is a guy that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks, as I think has been doing great as a fill-in if you've needed him. And Willis, if we, you know, Love does not suit up, the rushing floor on him is good, right? And he actually had some pretty nice throws in there. So those are two guys I would be considering. I think the one name that I don't think people should quit on was Michael Carter. All right. So did not go well, but still he was like the lead back there, and they get a dream matchup here. They're playing against the Cincinnati Bengals in week 17. So I think when I look at what he's able to do there, the Bengals allow the most points to running backs. It wouldn't feel great, obviously, having to start Michael Carter in your championship, but at least pick him up if he's there to block your opponent, because the matchup is good. He's getting enough usage. Yes, he's probably pretty pedestrian, but I do think there's a world where he could get you like 15 or so points in the next round. So thought all of your names are worth mentioning. Just wanted to highlight a couple and add one there, Herms. I'm ready to jump into the rest if you are, sir.
Absolutely. I think those are definitely worth talking about. Michael Carter, definitely worth getting into that as well. Hey, look, some of these names, they're not super pretty, but if they get enough volume, those players are always worth talking about. We can now jump into everything that happened in week 16, starting first with the Thursday night football game. I know a lot of people were probably very disappointed by what they got out of tight end Colby Parkinson on the Rams. Only two catches for 21 yards. Fortunately, I think a lot of people who interacted with us over there on the fantasy football subreddit for our AMA we did last Thursday, shout out everybody over there for that one. I think we did a pretty good job of steering people away from that, but I know a lot of people are probably not feeling good, feeling burned by that one, but there's a lot to get into with this 38-37 victory for the Seahawks over their NFC West division rivals. I'll turn it over to you first, actually, to get a little bit deeper into this. What were some of the major takeaways you had from this contest?
I mean, the big picture here is like the points scored, the offense. Like, these are two of the league's better defenses. I expect this to be much lower scoring. Definitely was not necessarily thrilled about starting Stafford. Recommended that some people bench him. That didn't look necessarily good. But in terms of just like the usage and the players, man, I don't think there's like too much to unpack if we're kind of looking at it from like a team perspective, because you look at what Stafford is able to do. Like, he's a baller and Puka's that dude. I mean, Devonta Adams was out. I expect him to be out again in week 17. And there's just really no interest in any other pass catchers. Like, they have all these different mishmash tight ends. They're putting a lot of different wide receivers out there. I think the only thing we really need to talk about from the Rams side that might not be as obvious is obviously Kyren's going to continue to get his, but it's coming to a pretty even split here with Corum. And while the volume that we've seen from Corum is been lackluster. You know, is he touching the ball 10 to 12 times? Probably, but he's been super efficient and he's been scoring touchdowns. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are thinking, like, is Corum worth the flex? Because he's been doing pretty well lately. And, you know, the answer to me is, like, I'm still a little gun shy on getting Corum into my lineup, because if he doesn't score a touchdown, man, he's sometimes getting you less than 10 points. So that would kind of be my take on it. Corum continues to be an absolute elite top end handcuff. But at this point in time, Kyren is healthy going into week 17. Handcuffs aren't as important unless someone gets hurt in practice. So from the Rams side of the ball, man, it's been pretty straightforward. It continues to be straightforward. Anything from the Rams side that you want to touch on here, Herms, before we shift over to the Seahawks?
Yeah, just quickly, I do think Corum is an interesting name. He is somebody that is going to, again, come up in the usage report that's going to come out on Wednesday. And I just want to highlight for people, throughout this span, even though he has been very good over these last four games, he's only appearing on 35.2% of the offensive snaps and is also averaging 4.6 yards before contact per attempt. It does just kind of highlight a little bit of how sort of, you know, streaky and, you know, a little bit risky that this is. Those are very high numbers. I don't really know that those are super, you know, it's not very sticky. I don't think we can expect this to just all of a sudden continue. But if you really have to, I think you can get away with it. And then also just one more little note on Colby Parkinson. Before people get mad, his big appeal was the fact that he's been used significantly in the red zone. I think a lot of people who got disappointed that he didn't, you know, get a ton of volume, you know, throughout the green areas of the field, were a little bit misguided. That is the thing I tried my best to highlight in last week's usage report. So if we're going to get mad at anybody, just be mad at the Rams red zone offense for not getting him the ball. I don't think it was nearly as catastrophic as people treated it. But yeah, other than that, anything you got with the Seahawks?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, dude. I mean, JSN is him. I'm not really looking AJ Barner's way, even though he had a good game. He's just kind of like a mid-tier streamer at best. Like, he's going to get the snaps. He's going to be out there. But you really don't look to him to be that guy. I think the conversation is going to continue to just focus around, like, what the hell are we doing with Charbonnet? And what the hell are we doing with Walker? I'm sure there's so many people that benched Walker if they, for some reason, made it to the playoff and he just absolutely went off, man. I've been on this for a couple weeks now. I can't trust him. I don't want to trust him going into my championship. It's kind of like a tough situation to really think, like, all right, maybe Walker does this again after he's had a lot of stinkers and not a lot of blow-up games. So I tend to lean into, hey, we're probably benching Charbonnet and Walker regardless of the matchup this week. But I don't think I have too much to add there. I mean, the only player I'm extremely confident about going into this obviously is going to be JSN. I think there's what you talked about, Darnold at the top. Yeah, there's some, you know, it's a possibility you can get him in as like a streamer, but man, I'm trying to like drum up something here, man. It really just comes to, hey, we're playing JSN on the Seahawks, and I think I'm ready to move along. Herms, you agree?
I definitely agree. I do have some thoughts on the Seahawks backfield, but that is probably going to be better served for next week's episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. That is what we call a teaser in the business, folks. We can now shift over to a different NFC contest in which the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Washington Commanders, who tried their best despite an injury to Marcus Mariota that knocked him out of the game. It wasn't just one injury, though. I think it was like his hand, and then he also did something to his knee, and then he also hit his head pretty hard. It was not the best afternoon for Mariota. Shout out journeyman Josh Johnson for coming into this game and, you know, just trying to keep things going. It wasn't horrendous, but it also was not great. Chris Rodriguez found the end zone again. I think he's one of those guys that if you really, really need a running back or something, you could continue to maybe go with him. I think between like all the people that we've mentioned, like even what you were saying earlier, I would rather go with Michael Carter if I had to pick between those two. But, you know, again, just it's something that we can think about. I guess that's really all I have to say about the Commanders. Do you have anything else with them, or do you just want to go straight to the Eagles?
You got to just monitor Mariota, because if he doesn't play and it's Josh Johnson, I'm not starting any Commanders whatsoever. If Mariota does play, Terry McLaurin's in play there, but I'll just shift over to the Eagles because that's all I have to say there. Yeah. Good to see Saquon come through in your championship there. It's been a little rocky here and there. He's starting to show his age, but again, good to see him get that done. Nothing too crazy from the Eagles side. It's kind of always been what it's been. You start Hurts, you start Saquon, you start AJ Brown. DVS is like a fine flex. Goddard has kind of been on heater this season. I think he's in double digit touchdowns, and obviously for a tight end where you're really reliant on touchdowns, that's pretty good. So he continues to be like a preferred streamer. But, you know, usually this is a time when I could talk about Will Shipley taking over some pass work or, you know, kind of like 2 minute stuff. But if Saquon's healthy going into week 17, these handcuff conversations really just aren't that pertinent, man. So I think I covered the Eagles pretty well there, but anything you want to double tap or add?
Not really. I think we're safe to move on and just go to a different part of the NFC in which the Chicago Bears were able to defeat the Green Bay Packers in overtime. It was pretty chill. I think it was a pretty interesting game, and we got to see Kyle Manungai have a little bit of like a comeback insofar as he ran for like 50 yards. I guess that was kind of neat. He's probably not, you know, super trustworthy at this point in the year. He is more in that handcuff conversation. But obviously we have to start mostly with the Packers here. As we mentioned at the beginning, Jordan Love in concussion protocol. He may not start for the championship round. I think his absence does place a pretty big cloud over any Packers head. Like, if he doesn't play, are you really interested in any pass catcher for the Packers, or would you just limit that attention to the backfield that has its own set of problems?
Yeah, so Love is out with a concussion. So far this year, if somebody suffers a concussion that's not on a Thursday game, that's on, you know, say a Sunday or a Monday, they have not been playing the next week. Like, we can almost bet on that. That's kind of been the trend that we've been seeing. Like, we did see, I think, CeeDee Lamb on a Thursday game get a concussion that was able to play the next Sunday. That seemed to be enough time, but just 7 days in between concussions has not been enough time this year for players to come back. So I am banking on Malik Willis. I do think, you know, he had about 44 rushing in this game. You know, if he plays a full game, he likely will get more. I think he is streamable, but if he's playing, no. Pass catchers are out. We're not even considering them. They spread the ball around a little too much. I think the only thing that we do need to talk about is Josh Jacobs. I believe it's his knee. It's been a problem. He didn't really practice at all last week. He still played. He was on a pitch count. I don't really know exactly what this is going to look like, but Emmanuel Wilson is a priority, Ed, in my opinion. If for some reason they decide that, you know, Jacobs can't play, or they're talking about another pitch count as they kind of try to figure out what's going on in his knee. Emmanuel Wilson has proved to be a very, very good backup. And when he's gotten opportunity, he's done a lot with it, even when he's splitting with Jacobs. So I do think, you know, this is one of those players that should not be on waivers. And we kind of want to see how this unfolds, because you got to look out Emmanuel Wilson's done. And it's a, you know, when we look at what's going on next week, the Packers are absolutely going to be playing. They're going to be playing against the Baltimore Ravens. And then you look at the Ravens defense, and it's been up or down, pretty average, but it's not a bad matchup. So I think that would be my only real piece of advice is, hey, Emmanuel Wilson shouldn't be on waivers until we kind of figure out what's going on with Jacobs and the injury.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I would be approaching it the same way. Everybody, please make sure you check for Emmanuel Wilson on your waiver wire if he was not already claimed. One more thing for this game before we get into all of the Sunday action. If Luther Burden ends up suiting up next week, I know he missed this contest. They will be playing against the San Francisco 49ers. I think that secondary is one that you can throw on. If he's out there and we assume Roma Dunze continues to not play, how interested would you be in Luther Burden? Or is it kind of the same answer as last time we discussed it?
I mean, mildly, Caleb Williams has been looking better. Like, he's progressing. So the talent has never been a question, right? But there's been multiple times throughout the season when it hasn't been putting it together. Maybe he's not understanding the offense, but lately, he's been playing really, really well, and I got to recognize that. And then you got to recognize the matchup. And while I do believe, you know, DJ Moore is still good and he proved that, I think Luther Burden is a guy that they want to get the ball. They're creating opportunities for Burden. He'll probably slot in as kind of like a, you know, wide receiver, like mid-30s for me when I run my first run of projections ranks, if I had to guess. So certainly playable. Depends how deep your league is or what injuries you have. So if he's on waiver, certainly, you know, kind of worth an add as somebody who's got great yards after the catch ability, and a guy that, you know, an ascending offense is trying to, let's say, get him the ball. So I don't mind the call. I'm not rushing to the waiver wire to grab him. There's probably some better names I want, but at the same time, it's an option if you're hurt.
Another name that you could possibly think about adding because of some injury stuff involved would be Dylan Sampson of the Cleveland Browns. That is how I'm going to segue into talking about this team losing to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. But the biggest loss of all, probably Quinshon Judkins, ended up having surgery for a dislocated right ankle and fractured fibula. Definitely one of the more exciting names from this rookie class. I think Quinshon Judkins has a lot of appeal for Dynasty moving forward. None of this really, you know, impacts his future for me, but he is obviously not going to play for the rest of the season. I think that Sampson, with his, you know, penchant for being able to do some pass catching work, could provide some interesting PPR upside. But we have to balance that with the fact that he's in the Browns offense that is pretty limited, unless your name is Harold Fannin Jr., somebody that I'm sure we can talk more about if you want to get into that. But that's kind of my big thing for Cleveland. Just wanted to throw the Sampson note out there. Do you have any thoughts on him or Fannin or anybody else on this team, or is the Bill side of this equation more interesting to you?
I think Dylan Sampson's worth an add. We should probably mention him at the top of the show because, you know, Quinshon Judkins is certainly season ending here. I've always been a fan of him as a prospect. He's electric. Love the guy. So I do like that. Fannin's the only other guy of note here, so we can certainly move on to the Bills side. Bills are straightforward to me, man. It continues to be James Cook. Josh Allen will have better days ahead of him. I can't trust a single pass catcher on the Bills. Never have. We've been highlighting that show after show after show. I really have no idea even how to handle this. They got to add some talent to this room in the offseason, so It's Cook. It's Josh Allen. I'm okay moving along.
Before we do that, though, I did want to ask you one small thing about Harold Fannin Jr. Because, you know, obviously, like, once the season's, you know, over, the Crossing Routes podcast, we're not going anywhere, folks. We're going to get into some more dynasty-centric topics once we get into the offseason. And I was just checking Keep Trade Cut, and I see Harold Fannin currently valued as the tight end 6, according to their dynasty rankings, roughly the equivalent of a 2026 late first round pick or a 2027 late first round pick. My question to you would be, would you be willing to pay that price to acquire Harold Fannin Jr. for your dynasty team or no?
Depending on who I have, if I have an aging asset like Kelsey, or was planning on something like even like Njoku or maybe Mark Andrews, I think a late first is more than fair. I mean, tight end premium, I think, for certain, but he's just shown that he is a dynamic pass catcher at the position. And for him to be able to play this well and command such a target share as a rookie, I think we forget how hard it is to be a rookie tight end. It's hard to be a rookie, sure, but a rookie tight end at the tight end position, it's just a tough position to come out the gates doing well at, and he's doing it. So I certainly think he's worth it. You know, I got to look at my dynasty ranks, but he certainly will be in the top 8, might even be kind of in that 5-6 range. I got to go back and look where I have him, but yeah, acquiring Fannin, definitely a priority.
Yeah, because I think a lot of, I've seen some people argue, it's like, oh, well, you got to be a little bit careful. You know, he's kind of used in a specialty role. You know, how much does that have to do with Kevin Stefanski? As long as Kevin Stefanski sticks around, and I don't know why they would get rid of him, then why would that role go away? I don't know. The proof of concept is clearly there for Harold Fannin. I think at this point, we just need to accept that, like, he's very good as sort of a Swiss Army knife player, and they get a lot of utilization out of him. All right, we have one more game that we are going to talk about before we get into our lone commercial break, and that is the Los Angeles Chargers defeating the Dallas Cowboys, essentially ending the Cowboys season, although I think that was pretty much over the week before anyway, but not the point. Let's focus on what happened on Sunday. I had mentioned that Omarion Hampton had a little bit of a limited ceiling in last week's usage report because of how much that Jim Harbaugh, that's one of them.
Yep.
had been splitting the workload with Kamani Vidal, but Vidal getting injured, exiting this game really did help Hampton. I guess people did kind of luck out there. Hope Vidal gets better soon, but this is kind of the first time that the passing attack had seen, you know, a little bit of, you know, sort of revitalization in a few weeks. And the one name that I kind of want to focus on, it seems kind of weird to focus on this, but Trey Harris, now the rookie with back-to-back games at 5 targets. We are finally seeing their day 2 pick get a little bit more involved in this offense. I haven't gone super deep into the usage stats yet. I will have some more findings on this publishing on ftnfantasy.com later in the week for sure, but I think it's kind of encouraging. How excited are you for Trey Harris? Probably not for the championship round, probably not for season long stuff, but like just looking ahead into 2026, do you find this emergence to be something that we should be keeping our eyes on? Is this a time to maybe go out and send some offers for Trey Harris?
Absolutely. He was probably one of my favorite kind of like mid-tier prospects going into the season. I believe I had him like around wide receiver 5 or wide receiver 6, you know. At this point in time, maybe that was a little high, but again, this dynasty, we don't make judgment after 1 year. it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out in this wide receiver room. Like, clearly Keenan Allen is on the downswing here. Vlad isn't the alpha that we thought he was. QJ's like hit or miss, like had a great game. And where does Trey Harris fit? I don't know the answer to that question, but I just know he's talented. And he's certainly a guy that I would be interested in acquiring. You know, am I sending a second round pick for him? I don't know, but maybe you can get him as a throw in. I don't think somebody would necessarily accept a third, but that's where I stand on Harris. I'm a fan of the talent. I think the big thing about the Chargers for me is just they're playing the Houston Texans next week, and that's one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. There's not a lot of optimism for any of these players. Probably still starting Ladd, probably still starting Hampton, because we did finally see that usage clear Vidal as being the kind of, you know, lead back in this offense. But, man, I'm not looking at, obviously not looking at Harris, probably not looking back to QJ. Gadsden has kind of fell out of favor here, and frankly, I don't think I really want to start Herbert after a really good week. Yeah, he absolutely torched the Cowboys in this one, but if you look at his last like six or eight games, like he's had a lot of fantasy performances under like the 18, 15 point mark. So I just don't see this as a game where the Chargers are really going to be able to find a lot of success and drive you to a fantasy championship. So there's just a couple guys I would look for. And I certainly would consider benching Herbert going into my week 17 matchup.
I think that's fair. I would be kind of doing the same thing. I mean, even one of the things that, you know, we argued, you know, during the AMA session, there was one question I specifically answered, you know, talking to somebody about, you know, they're not particularly trustworthy of Herbert. And the thing that I kind of said was like, you know, the matchup against the Cowboys was going to be the thing that necessitated him having to be good. That was the unique feature of the week 16 matchup where, you know, kind of like what you're getting at, that's not necessarily something that's going to be implied for next week or was even guaranteed the weeks earlier. So this was kind of a standalone circumstance. I'm also skeptical of what we could expect moving forward from that as well. But on the Cowboys side of the ball, it's pretty simple. If you had George Pickens, you played George Pickens, or at least I hope you did. It stunk that those last couple weeks were a little bit brutal, but those matchups were also brutal. He goes off for 7, 130 and a tutty in this game. It was super chill. CeeDee Lamb also contributes enough for fantasy relevance, but man, I'm lucky. I have a team where Javonte Williams, you know, would have been nice if we got a little bit more out of him. I still won. I still moved on. But 9 carries, 34 yards. Is this just like a one-off thing? Are you actually panicking about this? They do get the Commanders on Christmas. I don't think it's going to be another dud from Javonte. We're starting the usual suspects from the Dallas Cowboys in the championship round, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was about to say. I'm like, just fire them all up. They're playing the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are, I believe, bottom four in defensive DVOA. They allow the third most points to the quarterback position, the sixth most points to the running back position, the seventh most points to the wide receiver position, and the fourth most points to the tight end position. Folks, it is a very fruitful environment. A lot of meat on the bone here when you're playing against the Commanders. So we fire everybody up. Get into your Javonte question. He is losing some work to Malik Davis, but not enough to panic. I would continue to roll out Javonte as an RB2 in a very, very nice matchup.
For sure, for sure. Hey, you know, people who got you here are the ones that you have to keep rolling with. We are going to get into our commercial break, and then on the other side, we are going to get into the game that I have been saving because I wanted us to have a little break so we could gather ourselves, and then the two of us talk about our favorite teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Detroit Lions, playing against each other. Please do not go anywhere. It's the Crossing Routes Podcast.
Yo, what's shaking, my bacon? It's your friend C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to let you know that our partners at DraftKings Pick 6 have a deal that you don't want to miss. New DraftKings customers, this one's for you. When you play $5 or more on your first paid Pick 6 entry, you'll get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits to lock in your picks and take your shot at big wins. Just use our promo code FTN to sign up and start playing. If you've been thinking about trying Pick 6, now's the perfect time to get in. Just use our code FTN to sign up, and all new DraftKings customers can play $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Let's build some lineups. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. one per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable pick six credits that expire in 14 days. Ends January 25th, 2026. Terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we are still talking about week 16, the fantasy football semifinals for 2025. And we are now getting into the showdown between our favorite football teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeating the Detroit Lions on the road. It was quite the event. Jalen Warren absolutely went off. It was nice to see that. Got a couple touchdowns, well over 100 yards. The second time he's gained 100 yards on the ground this year, and only the third time he's achieved over 100 total scrimmage yards in 2025. I thought that was very encouraging. I think people can be pretty excited about him. Kenny Gainwell continues to put up some interesting pass catching work. I mean, this is something that we've been highlighting sort of, you know, all season long, but I just want to point out to people it's three games in a row with seven targets. Like, this dude, he is so heavily involved that, like, it's both parts of the Steelers backfield are fantasy viable. I think that people can trust that. But the one name that we can't trust is DK Metcalf, because he got suspended for punching a fan. I've heard different rumors that the fan definitely, you know, said perhaps some inappropriate stuff. But my whole thing, like, I get why he reacted the way he did, but also you can't really punch people at work. You know, I don't think that's a thing that's okay to do. I sort of understand the situation, but I just wanted to say something about it just because, I don't know, it's topical and it's in the news or whatever. But that's all I have on the Pittsburgh Steelers side of the ball. I guess it's kind of nice that Mike Tomlin has his 19th straight non-losing season, but what does that really mean in the grand scheme of things? Who knows? You have any thoughts on any of that, or do you just want to reflect on your Detroit Lions in this game?
I mean, good for your Steelers, man. They've looked terrible at times and looked great at other times, which honestly is probably what makes Steelers fans so frustrated over Tomlin's career here. Is that they look great and they can beat teams that are really good. And then they play down to teams all the time and they can't figure out their identity. So, I mean, shout out to them. Really kind of slams the door shut on the Lions' playoff chances. As a Lions fan, obviously a little disappointing, but ever since the Lions lost to the Vikings and JJ McCarthy, it's kind of been, the writing's been on the wall. But don't want to go too far deep into that kind of personal side of that. I think Gainwell is a smash start now with DK Metcalf. I mean, he kind of was their number one like wide receiver pass catcher. And now with DK out, I mean, dude, it's tough to even make any case for benching Gainwell. So Doughty's on waivers after a couple strong weeks, but I think he's more likely on people's benches and shouldn't be. But I don't have too much more to add from the Steelers. And then from the Lions side, it's going to be status quo. They're going to be playing against the Vikings. Tough, but beatable. You start the regular guys here. Montgomery's not in the equation anymore, but, you know, it's Gibbs. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's Jameson. Goff's probably not a preferred streamer, if I'm being completely honest, just because the Vikings defense has been good. But again, nothing too much to add from the Lions. It's been a pretty straightforward offense for fantasy all season long.
Yeah, and look, even when Jahmyr Gibbs can't get it going on the ground, like, you know, 7 carries, 2 yards, a little bit of a bummer for sure, but 10 catches, 66 yards and a touchdown. He still has that facet to his game no matter what. There's no reason to be nervous whatsoever with those superstar level players. We can now shift over to the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm going to be completely honest, I don't have a ton to say about this game, so I'm going to speed through my thoughts. Good for you, Tony Pollard, with your third straight game of 100 rushing yards, at least. Still don't feel confident enough to put you in any sort of lineups. Gardner Minshew getting hurt in this game, and now moving on to Chris Oladukun, I think is how his name is pronounced.
Sure.
He'll play on Christmas. He'll get to go up against the Denver Broncos in a primetime holiday matchup. I am hesitant to even say that I feel good playing Rashee Rice in the championship at this point. Like, honestly, the only reason I even know who Chris Oladukun is because he was a 7th round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers a few years ago. I know his name because my favorite team drafted him once, but I don't know, dude. It's a bummer, but I think we're kind of looking at a Kansas City Chiefless fantasy championship.
Agreed, man. I don't think there's a single Tennessee Titan or a Kansas City Chief that you should be looking to start in your championship. Shout out Pollard, a guy that I've like kind of been out on or slept on a bit. I'm just not going to do it. And then Rice, Kelsey, Pacheco. I don't know. You could make a case for having to maybe start them, but dude, for the sake of just saving some people time, I'm ready to just say, nah, I'm out on Titans and Chiefs in week 17. There's just nothing there that's going to do it for me.
It's going to be gross. Just if you have to do it, you have to do it. If you don't, then please don't. And we can now take that energy and get into a different game with some more fantasy relevant players than this last one. The Cincinnati Bengals absolutely took it to the Miami Dolphins on the road in Florida. Joe Burrow looking like the superstar that he is. And you know, but the person I really want to give a lot of credit to here is Chase Brown. You know, three trips to the end zone between the ground and the air in this contest. He's gone absolutely nuts. I feel really bad for, you know, sort of the hit that his value, I guess, kind of took earlier in the season. When Jake Browning was under center, I think there were a lot of people that were frustrated with Chase Brown. That's something that we definitely covered on this show, you know, at points in late September and early October. But dude, what he has shown down the stretch, and especially with this game, like, I feel pretty good about Chase Brown's, you know, sort of value headed into 2026. I'm curious kind of where you're viewing him for dynasty purposes, because a lot of the same things that were working against him last year are going to be working against him this offseason. People like to say, he doesn't really have the draft capital, whatever, but the production was there again. And Keep Trade Cut currently has Chase Brown as the RB18, the equivalent cost of a 2026 late first round pick. Personally, I'm not sure I would have that much of a problem buying at that price. I'm not a big fan of buying running backs early in the dynasty offseason, but I don't know. I figured it would be an interesting launching point for a topic that I myself have been thinking a lot about.
Yeah. Chase Brown probably ranked more like 13, 14, 15 for me. Am I buying him right now with the first? Probably not, but it's very clear that when Joe Burrow's healthy, this offense is good. When this offense is good, Chase Brown eats. It's a straightforward thing here, man. And then just to get into week 17, I mean, the Bengals have the highest implied team total on the entire slate right now with 30 and a quarter points. They're playing against the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals also allow the second most points to running backs on the season. I mean, Chase Brown's in line to do this again. So, I mean, Burrow, fire him up. Chase Brown, fire him up. Higgins, Jamar Chase. I mean, you might not have gotten there. You might not be in the championship if you drafted these guys just because of all the things, unfortunately, that went down this season for the Bengals. But for some reason, you're able to hang on to some Bengals. Man, good for you, because they're going to crush.
100% with you on all of those. And I think, you know, another name that we can definitely fire up, you know, just taking it to the Dolphins side of the ball, Devin Achane. I mean, obviously, you know, he is pretty much the straw that stirs this drink. Didn't really get a ton done as a receiver on Sunday, but still pretty productive on the ground, 81 yards and a touchdown. I guess my kind of my only question is how trustworthy are we of Jalen Waddle in the title game? I mean, obviously he did fairly well. 5 catches on 9 targets for 72 yards from rookie Quinn Ewers under center, but it's rookie Quinn Ewers under center, and it's the most important fantasy football game that you're going to be playing all year. How confident should people be with that, or is this really just start Achane and leave everybody else alone?
I think Waddle's playable just because there's nowhere else to go with the ball at this point in time, man. He's not going to be a guy who's going to blow up, right? But he's also had a pretty solid floor because the targets, the opportunity, everything is kind of going his way. I don't think you look at your starting championship lineup and feel good about sliding Waddle in there, but there's also a world when, you know, injuries have hit. Maybe it's a deep roster and he's probably going to be okay. I think generally speaking, it's a chance to move on, but Waddle's probably a consideration depending on kind of how deep the roster is and if you're dealing with any injury.
Very true. You know, just take a look, evaluate your options, and make your best judgment call, everybody out there. We have a game between the New Orleans Saints and the New York Jets that was kind of interesting, not for anything that happened on the Jets side of the ball. The total number of players that you should be playing from the Jets in the fantasy championship is 0. But like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the one thing I just really want to highlight for people is the impact of Taysom Hill. Devin Neal on IR. Hamstring, he's not coming back this year. I'm pretty sure at this point, Alvin Kamara also not coming back this year. I thought maybe Audric Estime could be kind of interesting, but that turned out not to be the case. Evan Hall didn't turn out to be anything. Taysom Hill got 12 carries for 42 yards, also caught 4 passes on 6 targets in this game. He is our friend who can always be counted on to, you know, crop up at random times and just run amok for fantasy purposes. I am kind of curious, though, is this one of those things where the Taysom Hill cheat code is an absolute, like, you have to get this guy in your lineup? Or are you kind of treating Hill as, hey, you know, you're the underdog in your championship matchup. You're going for a big swing. It's a little bit risky, but, you know, if you need some kind of help, that's sort of the direction you're going. Like, what is your sort of, like, you know, temperature or, like, vibe check on the viability of Taysom Hill?
It's the latter there, where if you just need a big swing and you want to take that risk, do it. I can't tell how many times we've tried to trust Taysom Hill and nothing's happened, or we have no idea that Taysom Hill week is coming and it happens. I'm not trusting that in my championship. I do think, like, let's say, you know, you've been relying on Kelsey and they have a third string quarterback coming up, or there's been another injury. Like, I could see myself, like, wanting to go that direction to take a swing, but ideally I'm not doing that. I mean, frankly, I'd rather start Juwan Johnson at this point as a legit tight end one. If we're looking at the Saints tight end side of things, I believe Foster Moreau, while he is not a fantasy relevant name, was still getting snaps, and I think he's hurt. So for me, Juwan is a very strong, strong streamer, and I'd rather look that way as a kind of a safer floor option than Taysom, who God knows what he could deliver you this week. So, I mean, the Saints side of the ball, Shark continues to be a streamer, and then obviously Olave is good, but I don't have a ton to add there, and you're dead right about the Jets, man. I love Breece Hall, but with Isaiah Davis kind of turning into things and grabbing a little bit more work, we don't start the Jets.
There's just no point. And I think, honestly, we might be able to say the same thing about the New York Giants after their performance that they had against the Minnesota Vikings. Jackson Dart, what happened? What happened, buddy? I thought we were all good. But 33 passing yards, an interception. You didn't even run the ball that much. Oh, no. I'm picking on him a little bit. Obviously, we still love Jackson Dart. His long-term future is still super bright. But a disappointing performance from the Giants. It is a tough defense. It is a tough matchup. But if there's one silver lining, the backfield did pretty well. Devin Singletary, respectable numbers. You probably weren't putting him in your lineup anyway. But Tyrone Tracy still ending up with, what we're looking at, 18 total touches, ended up, you know, close to 80 scrimmage yards despite the entire thing. I think we could still feel good about him, but headed into the fantasy championship, I think he might be the only one that I'm comfortable trusting. Is Wandale Robinson appealing to you at all? Is Theo Johnson appealing to you at all? Is even throwing Jackson Dart back out there appealing to you at all in a matchup that at least it's good? At least they're going to be on the road indoors against the Raiders. Is this just like a 1 week thing? Are you going back to the Giants in week 17?
I don't think so, man. It's tough. Just the way that they're deciding to play football. They just were hiding Dart for some reason and relying on the run game. I didn't totally get it. I don't think we trust anybody outside of Tyrone Tracy going forward, because I'm afraid that we might see this again. Like, they seem like they're just protecting Jackson Dart so that he can get into the offseason unhurt, you know, like so he's healthy going into the offseason. It seems like that's exactly what they're doing, and if that's the case, they're just gonna lose games and get a top pick. Man, I don't know. I gotta run my projections this week. I haven't done them yet. We gotta see where Dart kind of leads into, but ideally Tyrone Tracy is the only name here that we even consider. And then honestly, it's pretty easy from the Viking side of the ball. JJ McCarthy's been bad. Looks like he might even be hurt. If Brosmer starts, we're not interested. The only piece here that's really of interest is Jordan Mason went down, I believe, with an ankle, and that really was key for Aaron Jones' workload, and that is a game that we would absolutely want to get Aaron Jones in there regardless. So, I mean, Justin Jefferson is not a guy that you're going to bench, but obviously you're going to have some concerns. I don't really have much more to say in this Giants-Vikings game.
It's perfectly fine to transition over to this one instead, then, because this has not only, I think, fantasy relevance, but also probably arguably the biggest real life NFL relevance of any game that took place on Sunday. The Carolina Panthers coming out, squeaking out a victory against their division rivals, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe that does put them in the lead for the NFC South. Personally, I'm kind of rooting for the Carolina Panthers, but that's a different conversation. That's more about real football than fantasy football. Rico Dowdle didn't do a ton. He didn't get the big workload that we normally expect out of him, but I'm also talking about a guy who touched the ball 13 times in the game. It's not not terrible. I think if you made it through, you can still trust Rico Dowdle. Tet McMillan, obviously another guy that you can feel pretty good about. But I want to ask mostly about the Bucs side of the ball, because I think the Panthers, we were only starting Tet and Rico for the most part anyway, so we're not really breaking new ground. But, man, Emeka Egbuka, the good news is that the one catch he did, you know, manage to corral went for 40 yards. I guess that's kind of fun. But now it's just, it's been so many weeks in a row of just him not really stepping up to the plate. I don't feel very confident that fantasy managers are moving on to the fantasy championship if they have Emeka Egbuka, but I think, are you holding him out if you did make it to that point? Is this really just one of those things where we're going with Mike Evans and Bucky Irving and that's it?
Dude, I think you've nailed it. Just to address the Panther side, because it's quick. It is just Dowdle and it is just Tet, but I believe they have the Seahawks in week 17, which is one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. So honestly, I don't think there is a Panther that I want to get in my lineup in week 17. I would prefer to actually kind of sit Tet and sit Dowdle. And Emeka Egbuka can't be in the consideration at this point in time as a starter. He is just not getting the snaps and not getting the run and the volume that we need him to. It's going to be a really interesting case as we walk into the offseason and talk through Egbuka and Dynasty. We can save that for a later date. But I think for me, you nailed it with those players. And the last thing I'll mention is Bucky Irving. Again, lots of carries, but he's just like, he's giving pass work to Rashad White, and they're using Tucker around the goal line. So we talk about, you know, goal line carries or red zone carries and pass catching being like the high value stuff. Bucky's just really getting stuff like between the 20s, and that's a low value stuff. So I think we continue with Bucky because of the volume. But dude, he's not getting the stuff that scores fantasy points. So it turned into a very frustrating offense for fantasy at this point in time. And, you know, Godwin and Evans are leading the charge there. But truly, I think Evans is like the only player I have a lot of confidence as a difference maker going forward.
A team that is still very highly powered and also plays in the state of Florida. Haha, segue. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they're firing on all cylinders, man. Finally, you know, handing a loss to the Denver Broncos for the first time in, I think, a couple of months at this point. The Broncos were on a bit of a win streak there, but Trevor Lawrence is just playing absolutely out of his mind. He is supporting some strong pass-catching weapons. Parker Washington, a name that you had mentioned earlier that I think is pretty interesting for people if they really need some, you know, desperation help. But outside of him, you know, Jacoby Myers continues to be very consistent. Travis Etienne, that workload is absolutely nuts. I don't see any reason that that should change. And shout out the homeboy, Brenton Strange. By the time I finally give up on him for the year, he shows back up again. Pretty cool. I don't know. I don't have a ton to talk about with them, and I don't really have a ton of thoughts for the Broncos either, but there are some kind of injuries on that side of the ball that are kind of important. Take this in whatever direction you feel is important to you.
Yeah, Jaguars are going to be a good play. Their implied total, team total, is 27. I believe that's going to be like fifth or sixth highest on the week. It's a pretty solid matchup against the Colts, who, in my opinion, have been like below average defense, if I'm being completely honest. So T-Law and Etienne, I think, are great starts this week. I have a lot of frustration, I think, as a fantasy manager with these pass catchers, where we're in on Brenton Strange and then we're out, and then he hits. Parker Washington was doing well. Everyone dropped into waivers. Now he hits. Is it going to be Brian Thomas solid? Like, is it going to be Myers? Like, I don't necessarily find myself wanting to trust any of these pass catchers. I think there's a lot of teams out there that are in a situation where you might have to hope and trust one of them. But ideally, you just start T-Law and you start Etienne, because I don't think I can really guess which pass catcher is going to hit in any given week at this point in time. And then Travis Hunter is going to come back in the fold. I mean, it's going to get a little messy while we try to figure out, like, hey, who's going to be leading this pass catcher, right? I guess not pass catcher room, but, you know, Brenton Strange plus wide receivers. And then Broncos, you know, we can talk about, I think Pat Bryant, I believe, might have had an injury.
Yeah, concussion perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, that Franklin's, you know, always kind of been like, you're never happy about starting Franklin, but every once in a while he has a good game. Nix is kind of like back and forth here. I've never been excited to get kind of Broncos into my lineup. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to be changing too much this week. I mean, they do get the Chiefs, but man, the Broncos Chiefs game, that game has an implied total of 36.5, man. Like, there's just not a lot of points, or Vegas does not expect a lot of points in this one. So for me, I'm probably just going to be starting RJ Harvey. And I don't think I want any other piece of this Broncos in week 17. You agree?
I think that's fair. You know, even Harvey is a little bit frustrating just because, you know, I'm complaining in retrospect about his workload, you know, 7 carries, 4 catches. It's not super robust, but he's a big play guy. And he kind of showed that. I think a 32-yard catch was his longest or something. Like, he is a very explosive player. So even if that, you know, touch load is a little bit limited, he has shown the ability to, you know, kind of compensate for that. But yeah, I mean, going up against a third string quarterback, there's really not much of a reason for an offensive explosion. I think it's good to be hesitant and keep your exposure to those players on that team as limited as you possibly can. I think that covers everything we had to say about that. So let's get back over to the NFC and talk about the Atlanta Falcons coming out victorious over the Arizona Cardinals. A bit of a disappointing game from the Cardinals for fantasy purposes. Obviously, it would have been nice if Jacoby Brissett had had more of a classic performance, only barely cleared 200 passing yards. I apologize to everybody out there who was let down by Trey McBride only having 4 catches for 27 yards in this one. But luckily, like we were talking about earlier, if you did manage to get through to the fantasy championship with Trey McBride, he will be rewarded by going up against the worst defense against tight ends in the history of the NFL. That Cincinnati Bengals matchup is going to be absolutely insane. Also, I think Michael Carter is pretty interesting. The one thing I did want to ask that, you know, we kind of haven't touched on, though, is how interested you might be in Michael Wilson, because I was looking at different stuff, and, you know, obviously he didn't get a ton of involvement in this game. He got bailed out by, you know, having that touchdown, only caught 2 passes, but Marvin Harrison Jr. only played on about like half the snaps. Like, it wasn't one of those situations where Harrison coming back was the reason that Michael Wilson didn't do very well. I mean, none of the pass catchers did particularly well in this game. So I ask, is Michael Wilson somebody that you would consider starting in the championship in a matchup against these Bengals, assuming that Brissett is going to bounce back to form? Or am I just getting really too into the weeds with this one?
No, you're not. I mean, I think Michael Carter's probably worth it. If the matchup is good, I think Brissett's worth the start. Michael Carter's worth the start. Obviously, you're starting McBride. I'll start Michael Wilson. No questions asked. I do think this Elijah Higgins kind of breakout is a bit of a mirage. Things just worked out that way. So I'm here with Michael Wilson side it. So I think we got to name the names. The matchup is too good. I'm good to keep rolling them out. Falcons is straightforward. I mean, I'm not starting Cousins, but Pitts, London, Bijan are starts. I don't have anything else to add, man. We can get rolling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 3 catches on those 8 targets for London. Not ideal, but hey, it's his first game back. It's chill. He still got 8 targets. Everything is perfectly fine. The Las Vegas Raiders did not end up being victorious over the Houston Texans, but they were a lot closer than I thought they were going to be. And shout out everybody who was forced to play Ashton Jeanty, because for the first time in several weeks, it actually worked out for you. A stellar performance from the first round rookie. But I don't know. I don't really have a ton to get into with the Raiders. It's basically the same as we kind of have been treating it. It's Brock Bowers. And are you all of a sudden now okay with Ashton Jeanty? If we are speaking to a rare person listening to this podcast right now who's made it to the championship with Ashton Jeanty, are you giving them the green light to throw him out there?
Yeah, I'm giving them the green light to throw him out there. I feel like he's proven to be at least an RB2, and he has some boom weeks. He has some absolute opportunity to spike in this one. So no problem getting him out there. They're playing against the Giants, which is an absolute dream matchup for running backs in week 17. So you look at what the Giants have been able to do in terms of gifting teams third most points to running backs. Jeanty, like you said, for some reason you haven't been in championship, he could absolutely destroy and be a league winner in this week 17 showdown here. But nothing too much to add there. And then the Texans side of the ball, things continue to be ugly. Obviously, we start Nico. Schultz continues to be a streamer. But I think Jawar Jordan is probably worth an add if Marks misses time. I think he might have just about 20 opportunities between between catches and rushes. He's not great, but I'd be willing to at least like add him and see kind of what happens. But again, this neither one of these teams has necessarily been in a position to wow us from a fantasy perspective throughout the season. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen in week 7.
Probably not going to be that great, but, you know, kind of like you're getting at, Nick Chubb only touched the ball 7 times. So, I mean, like, yeah, they were clearly more comfortable getting it into Jawar Jordan's hands. That is somebody that is going to carry some appeal if the circumstances work out in his direction. Keep an eye on that. Definitely keep an eye on that, folks. We only got a couple more games left, and the next one that we have, our penultimate, is the New England Patriots emerging victorious over the Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore Ravens for the second half of that contest. A back contusion is how it is being characterized. John Harbaugh has called him day-to-day, but it's also something that he has labeled as a significant injury. That is the adjective that he chose. Shout out Jeff Ratcliffe and the Daily Dive article that comes out on ftnfantasy.com for that piece of information. There we go. Free promo for some content. But yeah, I think that is the most important thing to kind of set the table with as far as just talking about the Ravens. Like, if Lamar Jackson doesn't play, I really think it is just Derrick Henry that I'm quote unquote confident in, but Zay Flowers still had a pretty solid game. And it's not like Tyler Huntley is like a schmuck. He's a passable player. He has, you know, put up some, you know, fantasy production of his own, but has also kept pass catchers in this offense somewhat fantasy relevant in, you know, prior relief duty in the past. So if there is no Lamar, are you okay with Zay Flowers in the fantasy championship, or are you just sticking with Derrick Henry?
I think I'm okay with Zay Flowers. We're going to have to kind of see how things shake out with your teams, but generally speaking, yeah, I'm okay with Zay Flowers. The matchup's not great against the Packers, but I think he's well within having a conversation. Really depends on your lineup. So, but I'm with you. It's pretty much Derrick Henry's the only one you have true confidence in. And then, man, the Patriots, man, going over the Patriots side of the ball, dude, for starters, right, we're looking at a team where I think Travion Henderson's going to be out, right? He's in concussion protocol. Is that correct? You see that, Herms?
Yeah, no, I don't know about concussion protocol. I haven't seen that, but it was a head injury. So, as of 2 hours ago, as we're talking right here on this Tuesday, he is in concussion protocol. Yes, that is a pretty significant
one. Yeah. So I would not bet him playing, and they're playing against, I believe, the Jets in week 17. So the Jets have been just the worst defense in all of football. So Ramondre Stevenson is probably well positioned to absolutely go bananas in this one. And the way Diggs has been playing, man, I'm okay with Diggs going forward. It's just like, it's a matchup that keeps on giving when we talk about the Jets. I mean, it is just a team that is going to be out fantasy points for free. So I mean, Hunter Henry is plausible. So, you know, Drake May is probably going to be one of our top quarterbacks. Patriots are well positioned to do very well in week 17 in their pieces as well.
Definitely agree. I mean, you know, Ramondre especially is somebody that I'm particularly excited about. One of the things that I kind of had been digging into in our stats hub is just looking at the Jets red zone defense and just how poor they've been against running backs, especially from within the 20 yard line over the past like 4 or 5 weeks. It's atrocious. It is a layup for Ramondre Stevenson. If you have him, I think that that's going to be a, you know, potential league winner for you. So kudos for people that have held on to him. And for, I think, the first time all season, because we are not recording this on our normal night, we do have the Monday night football game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think there's really a ton to get into. I just think it's kind of fun that we get to talk about the Monday game for once. Brock Purdy went nuts. Christian McCaffrey went nuts. George Kittle went nuts. Anybody that you were starting for the 49ers is who you're going to be starting. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But with the Colts, dude, like, I don't know. Phillip Rivers, he kind of cooked. We saw some interesting stuff from these pass catchers. Alec Pierce, you know, had another classic Alec Pierce performance. Tyler Warren, you know, only 3 catches for 30 yards. But hey, like, you know, it's not terrible. You had mentioned Josh Downs as somebody who's kind of interesting. I guess, like, what are your thoughts for the Colts as we head into this championship? Now that we've kind of seen Phillip Rivers, you know, look like he's not a grandpa.
Yeah, I mean, the arm strength's clearly not there, but the ball placement is still looking good. I would say that we look at the Colts, you know, going forward here. They're going to get the Jaguars. What's tough here is that the Jags this season have been very strong against the run. Fourth-ranked DVOA. They're also allowing the second least amount of fantasy points. It is tough sledding for JT, who's already been kind of tough sledding in the first place. Not saying we bench him, but I'm not expecting much out of JT in this one. You can, however, move the ball fairly well there. So I do think that the pass catchers are in play here. Which is the right one? Is it Pierce? Is it Downs? Is it Pittman? Is it Warren? That's going to be a tough situation, but I would bet two of those four pass catchers has a pretty good day that's going to be able to help. I don't know exactly who it is right now recording, but Rivers is serviceable at 44, which I didn't expect to say, man. And I don't have anything to add from the 49ers. The dudes are the dudes, and we know what they do.
Pretty straightforward. And I think that, you know, anybody reaching the fantasy championship knows what to do. And if you didn't know what to do, hopefully you do now that we have reached the end of this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, reviewing everything that happened, getting everybody prepared for a finals run. If you need some more prep, if you're still a little bit nervous about what to do, about, you know, some guys that, if you do need some deep waiver wire names, all of that stuff, all of the information you could possibly need over at ftnfantasy.com. We have a tremendous amount of tools. Our rankings coming from, you know, the brilliant minds like you, our man Popes, Mr. Ratcliffe. It's incredible. We have so much cool stuff that will absolutely get you confident and ready for week 17 at ftnfantasy.com. Please check out all the content we have, and please tune in next week when we get into our championship week review and talk about whatever it is that we are going to talk about on the Crossing Routes podcast. Best of luck, and we will talk to you all again soon. Adios. Bingo.